These final days before the beginning of the Lenten season, we hear these words from our Lord, recorded for us in the Gospel of St. John, the 12th chapter. Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray now that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. According to the teachings of the Unification Church, headed by Dr. Sun Myung Moon, Jesus' death was an accident. According to their beliefs, Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, came into this world with the express purpose of having a family and having children. But before that could happen in his life, he was accidentally taken and put to death, and so he didn't get his true job done. And so, Dr. Sun Myung Moon, it is believed in their teachings, has now become the second Messiah sent by God to come and try to impregnate as many women as possible in this world, so that he can give birth to God's true children in the world. Well, isn't that special? What a denial of the atonement of Christ. But even closer to home than that, listen to this denial of the atonement of Christ and what his death on the cross was about. Listen to a Lutheran theologian, this is written in a textbook that is used in many Lutheran seminaries. I'm happy to say not ours. Listen to this quotation. "Jesus himself, though he might have and quite possibly did reckon with a violent death, seems not to have understood his own death as a sacrifice for others or a ransom for sin." It's a Lutheran theologian gutting the atonement. So then why did our Lord Jesus say about himself, "The Son of Man came to give his life as a ransom for many"? As you study the Gospels and the life of Christ, you clearly recognize how focused our Lord is on his atoning work, that he is the lamb that must go to the altar, to the cross, to be sacrificed. And we see that again in our text for today. His death is not an accident. His death is not something that the church somehow made up later as to having some value and purpose. His death is his very mission. In our text, he says, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." I remember watching my mother plant tulip bulbs. And if you've ever seen tulip bulbs before they get put in the ground, they look about as ugly and dead and ridiculous and lifeless as you can get. Dried out looking and brown, and it's like there's nothing to them. And you stick them down into the dirt and into the ground, and you wonder if anything's ever going to come up. And yet, here come these beautiful tulips. Our Lord Jesus uses the imagery of a seed for grain going down into the ground. And it must die before it bears fruit. It goes through a process of decomposing in order for the life that it contains to spring forth out of it. And what a picture we have there of his own death and resurrection, of course, when he arises on Easter morning and now begins the new birth of the New Testament church. What a glorious plant that dead seed of his body stuck in the grave has become. And the flowers that bloom from that beautiful plant of our Lord's death and resurrection, the flowers that have come forth from that are sitting here even present in the sanctuary today. God takes and hides his victory in death. He hides life inside of death. and what would appear to be defeat to the world's eyes. And this is now also the path that the Christian is to take to find life as well. It's the same pathway that our Lord took to the cross to find life that you and I must also now take to find life. A Lutheran theologian by the name of Locke paraphrased Jesus' words like this. He said, as if Jesus is saying to us, "Yes, you will gladly go with me in a wedding procession, but to follow into danger, are you ready for that?" Years ago, there was a famous filmmaker you've probably heard of, Alfred Hitchcock, who wrote an interesting story. And the story was about a man who was in a prison in the 1800s. And in order to escape from the prison, he had to fake his death and permit himself to be put into a coffin and took some medicine that made it appear as though he was dead and actually unconscious. And then he was buried outside the walls of the prison and had arranged for a friend to come and dig up his grave so that he could get out of his grave to new life again. It's kind of a picture for us believers in this life. We are not simply to fake death to the things of this world, but we are to actually die to the things of this world in order to receive the true life that is coming. Jesus uses his own life as a picture for the path that we must now follow. And if any person in this world claims to be a Christian, but loves their present life in the hope of gaining the riches and honor of this world, then he will lose his life eternally. On the other hand, our Lord says that those who are willing, by God's grace, through the work of the Holy Spirit, those who are willing to die to this present life and to this present world, and to set aside its glory for the sake of heaven, they will find life and receive it. That's why St. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain." St. Augustine had an interesting expression. He said it this way, "Where I am not present, there is my true self." What he meant is, where I am not present, meaning yet heaven, there is my true self. In the process of burying the seed or the bulb of a tulip, there's a point at which you could stand over that packed down earth and it looks like nothing is going to happen. It looks hopeless and dead. In the process of our Lord's walk to Calvary and watching him be nailed to the cross and having his lifeless body taken down and wrapped up and put into the cave of his grave, there's a time at which it would have appeared hopeless and meaningless. It would have appeared like he had lost. I can only imagine the Roman soldiers standing, guarding this grave, kind of laughing to themselves. But his resurrection was coming. And so it is for us. In the process of our spiritual lives, there is a point right now when we, through faith in Christ, must die to this world through the process of repentance and the things that we may sacrifice and give up here. And there's a point at which the soldiers around us in this world may laugh at our loss, may laugh and think we are ridiculous for giving all this up because what it appears we have seems so lifeless, meaningless, and dead. But Easter is coming. And when that day comes, bloom, baby, bloom. Amen. Let us rise for prayer. Please turn to the prayers for worship on page 40 in the front part of your hymn book, page 40. And we will use the last prayer on that page in unison. May the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace in believing through the power of the Holy Spirit. O Savior of the world, by your cross and precious blood, you have redeemed us. Save us and help us, we humbly beseech you, O Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, we humbly beseech you to set your passion, cross, and death between your judgment and our souls, now and in the hour of death. Give us mercy and grace, and grant your church concord in peace, that at length we shall enjoy everlasting life and glory. For with the Father and the Holy Spirit, you reign, one God, now and forever. Amen.